Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Beth Fertig in for Brian Lehrer. Saturday's fire at the Deutsche Bank building brought back many bad memories for city dwellers, and we find ourselves facing some familiar questions in terms of fire procedures. And even though the investigation has only just begun, some things are coming to light about why the fire raged with such intensity, such as a dry standpipe and also the black cloth surrounding the building at Ground Zero. Earlier, we spoke to Avi Schick, president of the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, about the condition of the Deutsche Bank building, which was seriously damaged on 9/11. But joining me now to talk about the issues surrounding how the fire was fought in this building, which is under demolition right now, is Sarah Garland, a reporter for the New York Sun. Sarah, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
Sure. One of the issues that caused this fire to rage for so long and reach a 7-alarm rate was apparently a dry standpipe. Can you explain that a little bit for our listeners?
Yeah. All high-rise buildings have standpipes in them, which help fire, and they usually have water flowing through them ready in the event of a fire, and firefighters can access them. In this building, because it was under demolition, it had a dry standpipe, which meant that there was not water actually in the pipe, and it would have taken a few minutes to get it running. It sounds like there was some sort of malfunction, and they're still investigating that today. But instead of having water available at the top floors, they had to drag the hoses up to the 17th floor, which is where the fire started.
Okay, so what about the role of the wind that day? It was a very windy weekend.
Yeah, I think there was wind, and there was a lot of issues inside, the conditions inside. You had a lot of debris. You had the polyurethane sheets, which were covering a lot of the materials to keep the asbestos and other contaminated materials from spreading out into the air and contaminating the neighborhood.
I'm sure there are going to be a lot of second-guessing about this decision to have the dry standpipe, but earlier we had Avi Schick from the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation saying they went over this and they decided to keep it a dry standpipe, to not have water going through that building. Is anyone saying now that perhaps that was the wrong decision, or was that a natural decision to make when it's an unoccupied building that's being torn down?
I mean, I think right now it's fully within the law to do that, I think. So, I mean, there may be, and I haven't heard, anyone coming out so far and saying that they shouldn't have done it that way, but it may raise questions in other states. I think that they do require, even in unoccupied buildings, that there be regular standpipes. So, that obviously will probably come up in the aftermath of this.
Right, that they don't need to have them all the time, but maybe in some cases they'll revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'd like to invite firefighters to call in at this time, or any experts in fire safety, if you'd like to add your two cents, even though this is still very much under investigation. What do you think about the conditions of the Deutsche Bank building? Do you think it made it harder for firefighters to stop the fire? We're going to have the assistant FEMA administrator, who is in charge of fire administration, joining our program in a little while, but you can also call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. But right now, we are speaking with Sarah Garland, a reporter for the New York Sun. I'm wondering, how often was the building inspected for fire safety, and is it different in a building that's being torn down than it is for a regular construction or demolition site?
Well, I think what the fire department has is sort of a system where contractors and owners of buildings that are undergoing construction, or in this case demolition, will sort of report any changes to the floor plans to a building. Because when firefighters go in to fight a fire, they usually have a sense of what the floor plan is in that building. That's some of the training that they do. And so in situations like this, if there's any major changes, they are supposed to pass that along to the fire department. And yesterday it sounded like they weren't sure when the last time that happened, when the last time firefighters were in the building to sort of check out the the situation there. So, you know,
and of course the floor plan, you know, that doesn't seem like a constant in a situation like this where there were so many reports of confusion because things are being torn down, and it seemed like the firefighters were very disoriented in there.
Yeah, exactly. There was a lot of debris. Walls were being taken down. Beams were being taken down. There was, you know, sort of curtains and sheets, and there was plywood covering the windows, which, you know, was actually, you know, probably turned out to be part of the fuel to the fire. So, yeah, it was very dark in there. You know, on the top floors, it sounds like there was more light, but firefighters were walking into sort of a pitch black, smoky situation, but no light getting in. So, yeah, it was very confusing and difficult for them.
Okay, we're joined by U.S. Fire Administrator Greg Cade. He's also the Assistant FEMA Administrator, also known as the President's Fire Chief. Welcome to the show, Mr. Cade.
Thank you very much.
I assume you've been staying on top of this situation with intense curiosity since Saturday, and I'm wondering what struck you about the conditions at that site. Do you think there's anything that's going to warrant special investigation?
Well, I don't know that there's anything at this early juncture that would warrant a special investigation. I mean, obviously, as a 40-year member of the fire department and someone who lost personal friends in the aftermath of the World Trade Center collapse, I listened and watched what was going on very intently. It is a horrible tragedy, and my heart goes out to the families of the, you know, individuals who lost their lives, as well as the department. I mean, just a couple of weeks shy of the anniversary of 9/11, I just cannot imagine what the New York City Fire Department and all of its family must be going through. Clearly, in a situation like this, though, just from general purposes, it drives home for me the message again of how important it is to stay abreast of and monitor what is taking place within your own jurisdiction, especially in a case like this where you have a building that's been closed for quite a few years and is in the process of being demolished. It creates some very unique challenges for the fire service.
Well, but does it have the same protections that a regular building would have? For example, were there smoke detectors? Our reporter who's on the show right now was saying that there did have to be fire checks every once in a while, but the floor plan was constantly changing because it's a demolition site. What do you think of that?
It certainly would be changing. I'm not personally familiar with the code within the city of New York to understand exactly how it works. But in general terms, with buildings, whether as they are being constructed, I guess, and in this case deconstructed, normally there is a requirement that the built-in fire protection systems, the sprinklers and standpipe systems, are maintained either to the floor that they're working on or at least the floor below. So without knowing specifically what New York City's requirements is, I can understand where the smoke detectors may not be operating, you know, because they're in the process of tearing the building down. But I would think that at least the standpipe system and the sprinkler system would be maintained.
So what did you think of the fact that it had a dry standpipe?
Well, having a dry standpipe system in a building that, you know, has the utilities turned off, or at least the heating piece of it is certainly not unusual. But again, there normally is a requirement that the system is operational to within, you know, some level within there. I'm not sure how many floors were still up in the building. So,
but it appears that it wasn't operational, since at least, you know, the news accounts this morning were that there was water in the basement. So would they have had to test a dry standpipe to see that it could work in an emergency?
Again, without knowing specifically what New York City's requirements are, I honestly don't know.
How about you, Sarah? Did you know what the regulations were for that?
I think that the regulations are that they don't have, I mean, they had indicated in their plans that they were going to have a dry standpipe, and that was, you know, deemed okay.
So, but did they have to test it?
I would assume that they would have to keep it operational, that they would have to test it, but I'm not sure. You know, at this point, I don't think that, I'm sure they're still investigating, you know, when the last time, you know, it was tested and you
know,
what
went wrong.
Do we
know if that building is exempt from any of the normal city safety codes? Because the Port Authority was with the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation. Would they apply to them, all the codes?
I'm not sure. I'm assuming that they had some sort of, you know, safety regulations in place. And obviously the building's been, you know, under a lot of scrutiny because of, you know, there's been ongoing problems just in terms of the demolition and the environmental hazards. So I think that, you know, the building's being watched very closely. So I'm assuming that they, you know, were looking for not only the fire hazards, but also the environmental concerns with the contaminants.
I know that there are reports that it's possible that a cigarette could have started this fire. Were people seen smoking cigarettes around the building?
Yeah, there's definitely been reports about that. They weren't supposed to be smoking cigarettes, it sounds like. So if, you know, cigarette butts are found on the premises, that's definitely going to be, you know, part of the investigation, I'm sure. You know, still the fire marshals still don't know, and they're, you know, going back and interviewing the people who were there. You know, they've done that multiple times to sort of determine, you know, what exactly happened, if it was that or if it was something else.
Okay, so let me just ask our other guest, Greg Cade of FEMA, what do you think they're going to have to look into now to determine the cause of this fire and if anything needs to be changed at a demolition site?
Well, my assumption is that the New York City Fire Department, and specifically probably their fire marshal's office, is going to do a complete investigation to determine exactly, you know, what was the cause of the fire and what were the contributing aspects as far as the loss of life with their firefighters.
Okay.
And they will come back with some sort of after-action report. I'm sure that they will take some immediate action.
We're going to have to end it there.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Greg Cade of FEMA and Sarah Garland from the New York Sun.
Thank you.
I'm Beth Fertig, filling in for Brian Lehrer, who's on vacation this week. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.